You're listening to Inside the County Board, an exclusive partnership between News Talk 1130 WISN and the Milwaukee County Board of Supervisors.
I'm Harold Mester. Thanks for tuning in. We have a little bit of a different segment here. We're going to chat with the reporter who has a big impact on how Milwaukee County is covered in the local media. Steve Schultz from the Journal Sentinel covers the Milwaukee County beat, and he joins us in the studio tonight. Thank you, Steve. I know you're on vacation here during this holiday time. We thank you for coming in.
Glad to do it, Harold.
All right, so anytime there's a story in the Journal, almost anytime there's a story in the Journal Sentinel that relates to Milwaukee County, chances are you're the guy who wrote it. You've been on the county beat for, I believe, what, 5 years now?
Almost maybe? 5 years, yeah. Yep.
And you work out of the Journal Sentinel press office, so to speak. It's an office that the newspaper rents at the courthouse, and it's on the second floor close to the county board offices. But you know, you cover the county board, the county executive, other parts of county government. But you're the only reporter that's dedicated to Milwaukee County news on a daily basis. So has it always been that way? I know before the newspapers were combined, when you had the Sentinel and the Journal, there were two of you in there, right?
Before the papers combined, yeah, the Sentinel had a full-time county beat reporter, and the Journal had a full-time county beat reporter, and
very competitive.
Very competitive. I didn't cover the county beat back then, but yeah. they shared this tiny office, so I'm sure that created some.
Well, because you'd be able to listen in on what the other reporters, you know, who that person's talking
right,
to.
Exactly. Yeah.
Interesting. And now, you know, there's still that competition going on where you write a story for the Journal Sentinel relating to the county, and then all of a sudden, a few hours later, you see it pop up on some websites or on radio stations or TV stations, and, you know, they would not be running that story if you hadn't written it first, Steve. How do you feel about that?
Well, that's true. That's true, very true, and, you know, basically, I'm fine with that. The one thing I guess we don't like is if we do some particular enterprise reporting, some other media, news medium picks it up and doesn't credit us. But, I mean, for the most part, especially with the advent of the internet, you know, news is a 24/7 operation. We try to push the news out on our website as soon as we possibly can. And we know that the other news outlets are going to pick up our stories. And, that's fine, especially if we get credit for a particularly enterprising piece of work.
Yeah, so, I mean, you would hope at least they would credit JS Online or the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel or something like that. Yeah, I know that, you know, sometimes I'll get, as the county board's public relations guy, I'll get phone calls from other media outlets saying, you know, is this true? You know, can we confirm this through you so that, you know, because they're trying to skirt the process, so to speak, but you're still the guy that broke the story. Now, yeah, I guess that raises the question of where you get your news, and it comes from a variety of sources, I imagine, right? I mean, do you get anonymous tips? Some of them are just from covering the meetings. Where does your county information come from?
Well, the county beat's really like any other beat. You the longer you're on it, the more sources you establish, more people that you get to know who know something about county government or issues that affect county government. So, you know, you're talking to a lot of people every day or over the course of the week, a number of people, and, you know, they may tell you something that they think is a story, or maybe, you know, they don't really even realize that it might be a story, but it might spark your interest to look into something a little bit further. But, I mean, the real meat and potatoes of the beat, as, you know, you're very aware, the county board, when they meet monthly, that's when the rubber meets the road, because they're actually taking some formal action on an issue that has been brewing for a while. So, you know, those things, the official meetings are, I guess, again, the meat and potatoes. You have to cover those things. But we try to do a steady stream of more enterprise-type work as well, because oftentimes meeting coverage is a little bit dry. You know, we try to try to make it interesting. But, you know, the issues are what I hope sort of drives the coverage, not necessarily the meeting itself.
Right. Well, what kind of stories, you know, do you get excited about or interested in pursuing? There have been some stories that generate a large amount of attention on the Journal Sentinel website. Is there any particular story that, you know, that you recall where you got tipped off to, where you were able to get really get a lot of inside information that maybe even people on the board don't have?
I'm trying to think of a good example of that. There's probably a lot of them, but
you frequently talk with members of the board. You talk with staff people like me. You talk with the county executive and other observers, and I'm sure you get you get tips from people. One thing that stands out for me, of course, is pension stories. Anything dealing with pensions is going to generate a lot of attention on the newspaper site. Is there, are you under pressure as a reporter to write about pension stories or anything like that?
I wouldn't say under pressure. I wouldn't quite put it that way. But, I mean, the pension scandal and it's 10 years ago now.
Right.
But, I mean, it was huge, a huge event in Milwaukee County government history. And, we're still feeling the after effects. So, yeah, I mean, there's great interest and there's still great interest in the pension topic because it's such a, has such a huge financial impact on the county. And as you said, it generates an incredible amount of feedback from readers. We see it most obviously and instantly, people who post on our website. Now, those people, if you read all the comments on a story about pensions, let's say, maybe there's a couple hundred comments on a story. Many of them are people that you see a lot of the same people posting over and over again. So that's not necessarily a cross section of our readership. But, there are people who are very interested in that subject. And I think even if the people who post on the website aren't a cross section of our readership, I think it does indicate something that is still a high interest issue for our readers. So, circle back to the original question. Yeah, pension remains an interesting issue, and I think it will be an interesting issue this year because the county, or next year, because the county executive has said he thinks there's ways to scale back the backdrop. This pension benefit that was approved 10 years ago that was part of several pension enhancements that cost the county a lot of money and resulted in, at least in some people, getting some pretty large payments under this pension provision.
Yeah, and in fact, there was a story back in 2008 that the Journal Sentinel ran that dealt with pension buybacks, and that story ended up winning a Pulitzer Prize back in 2008 for local reporting. Some people have said that story may have been more sensational than it should be, but certainly it generated a lot of reader interest.
Well, that was written by Dave Umhafer, who won the Pulitzer Prize for that story, and he was on the county beat at the time. I wouldn't say it was sensationalized.
Yeah.
I think if anything that wins the Pulitzer Prize has gone through an incredible amount of vetting by some of the top people in the profession, so I think that story stands on its own. But it is, again, that was an example of the sort of the power of that issue.
And, sure.
That wasn't specific, didn't specifically relate to the pension benefit, the backdrop and so on, but it allowed people to buy. This gets very detailed.
Well, essentially they're purchasing pension credit from early on in their careers with the county to boost the pensions. Yeah,
exactly.
I wanted to ask you about some of the personalities that you interact with at the county. And, of course, you frequently talk with county supervisors and the county executive and others. How do they respond to you in general? It's probably a wide variety of working relationships you have with these folks, right?
It is a wide variety. And, again, I've been with the paper for over 25 years, and I've covered different beats. And on any beat, you have sources that are more forthcoming, I guess, or more, they have a particular interest in a particular topic, or maybe you just get along real well with them. Of course, you try not to talk to the same few people. That really wouldn't be good for the overall coverage. But, you try to generate the kind of information you can to get the best story. So, yeah, I mean, I have people on the board, I guess, that I try to talk to everybody at least some of the time. There are some people who are more active on certain issues than others, so I tend to talk to them. The leadership of the board, because of their leadership position, I'm bugging you a lot to get a hold of the chairman, for example,
right,
because he is the chairman. and committee chairs as well. I'll talk to them often on issues because of their position.
And then there's probably other supervisors you never hear back from.
There are those, yes.
So how do you deal with that?
I guess it varies on a day-to-day basis. It does, you know, on a given day, you may not really need a particular supervisor on a particular story. You may or may not. I mean, oftentimes you can get by without a comment from a particular person on a particular story, but over the long haul, that's not a good thing. I mean, you shouldn't have people that you never
right.
get a hold of.
Are supervisors usually happy to hear from you, or are they disturbed?
If I'm talking to them on the phone, I can't see the look on their face,
yeah.
So it's a little hard to gauge that. But I would say most of them, virtually all of them are pleasant and professional. There are some who don't return calls. I guess I've had a few who seldom return a phone call. Some are harder to get than others.
Well, and speaking on behalf of Chairman Holloway here, sometimes because he is busy, he's difficult to reach right away. But what I have noticed is at the end of every board meeting, or almost every board meeting, you go right up there and he'll give you as much time as you want at the end of the board meeting.
Well, that's, everybody has their own styles. And he's hard to get a hold of if I need something at, 4 o'clock in the afternoon or something, and it's not a board day, he may be very tough to get a hold of. But when he's around the courthouse, and especially after a county board meeting, he has been excess. That's a good time to get a hold of him.
I mean, it seems like you two tend to get along pretty well, and he's usually receptive to answering your questions during those times, right?
I would say so, yeah.
Who's your favorite supervisor?
Okay, I don't think I'm going to answer that one.
Oh, okay. I didn't think you would, but I just figured I'd ask it just for the entertainment value,
yeah.
Steve. How about County Executive Abley? How has that been so far? He's been in office for, about 8 months now? What have your interactions been with him?
Yeah. Well, he's new. I think his approach is quite different than the last county executive, who is now the governor, Scott Walker. County Executive Abley is, I would say, a little more of a private person. He's less accessible than Scott Walker, but I can't think of many politicians who were more accessible than Scott Walker, in my experience, than he was as county executive. And I covered him when he was in the legislature years ago. He was extremely accessible. Obviously, he can't do that as governor. And I think if you talk to our reporters in Madison, they would probably have a different viewpoint on how accessible he is. But if I put in a call to Scott Walker in those days, and I covered him from 07 as county executive from 07 till he left at the end of last year, he would invariably call me back the same day, sometimes, within a matter of, within an hour
or
two.
And that was my experience, too. When he was in the legislature, he would be, driving back and forth between Milwaukee County and Madison for meetings, and he would just, whenever I was in radio news before I was at the county, he would just call and say, hey, I can give you some comment on, whatever the issue is, X, Y, or Z, and he was very proactive. And you wonder, how that's changed. And I'm sure he tries to make himself accessible to the reporters that cover the Capitol beat, but he just doesn't have the time that he used to have to basically handle his own public relations. I mean, he was like a one-man public relations staff for himself.
He really was. And, of course, as governor, it's been an incredible and unusual first year as governor with the collective bargaining issue and all that controversy that has generated. So I think that probably affects, I know it affects his accessibility as well. All the protests last year at the Capitol, I'm sure he was much less accessible, and I was there for part of that, much less accessible than he would have been otherwise, simply because of the controversy over that issue.
Have you had any interactions with Scott Walker since becoming governor?
I think actually the last time he came to an editorial board at our paper since he's been governor that I sat in on, at least one that I've sat in on, and I interviewed him at the Capitol during during the Capitol protest last winter with the rest of our Capitol Bureau. I think that may have been the last time I talked to him one-on-one.
So I do want to circle back and talk a little bit more about your role as the county beat reporter. And so you get this information, you're covering different county meetings, you interview people. What happens next? So you do a first draft and then you're interacting with the editor that's on duty. How does that work?
Well, I mean, first you have to decide what you think is newsworthy and what isn't. You know, you may go, let's say it's a county board day. That's only one day out of the month. But if there's a county board day, you have a pretty good idea before the meeting that there may be one or two or three things that could generate a story. And those types of stories are often driven by the debate. I mean, if there's not good debate at the meeting, you don't really have a whole lot to base a story on unless there's some other reason that might send you off on some other additional reporting.
But, right.
Whether it's a meeting or just something that I've heard, you know, I'll discuss it with my editor in the morning. I have a couple of stories that I think I'm going to have today, and I'll send him he'll say, send me a budget line,
okay.
Which is newsroom speak for just send me a short summary of what the story is. Or, you know, oftentimes it's like it's the lead or the first paragraph of the story, or they often change based
sure.
on your reporting. But so, you know, I give them a heads up. This is what I think I'm going to have. If the story changes in any substantial way, I'll talk to them during the course of the day. If it's something that they want for the front page, they might say, should we have art? Or I should be thinking about that as well. Should we have a photographer come and shoot a picture? We need some graphic information?
Right.
That sort of thing. Additional information to go with the story package. Or, you know, increasingly online, we're more and more interested in having photos, videos, sound clips, all that sort of thing.
And, you know, and you mentioned the online aspect of it. You know, I'm sure you're under a decent amount of pressure, especially when there's a meeting or something planned going on, to get that story finalized as soon as possible to get it up on the web.
I mean,
there anything you can do ahead of time, or how does that work? I mean, if you know something's coming up, you can at least get some of the background in order.
There's a certain amount of prep work you can do. You know, the job has really changed over the years, and especially in the last, say, 5-10 years because of the internet and because of our interest in putting up breaking news. You know, we have News Watch, this feature on JS
right.
Online. We're really interested in putting breaking news on there as soon as we can get it. Now, that does create time pressure issues for reporters because, you know, you can spend your time putting up breaking news stories, or you can spend your time doing more in-depth reporting on a story. You try to do both or have a good balance of the two. Sometimes it might mean, well, this might make a good News Watch thing, but, you know, it's not really that great a story, and I have a better story that if I spend this next hour or something, I'll have a better story at the end of the day that we can, you know, that will be a front page story versus, you know, a two-paragraph thing that just runs on Newswatch.
And then you also have the All Politics blog. So sometimes you'll have stories that show up on there but never show up in the newspaper, right?
Yeah, I guess, right. And All Politics, viewed really broadly, it's almost anything that can be broadly construed as political. All the political government reporters feed that blog. Sometimes you may think of it as just All Politics. You may just think of it as, well, here's an interesting little tidbit.
It's gossip.
Well, I hope it's more than gossip,
yeah.
But it may not actually qualify as a bona fide news story, but there's some little interesting aspect to it in some way or other.
And then after you submit the story, whether it's for the blog or for the News Watch or the newspaper or whatever, do you see it again? You know, are there revisions made? Do they have you make revisions? Do the editors make revisions? What happens next?
Well, we have a couple of different categories here. Newswatch items, basically, it's pretty much directly from the reporter to the blog. So, you know, editors watch these and read them. But, you know, as soon as I push the button, when I'm done writing a blog, a Newswatch blog item, it's out there.
So it's there. It's raw, so to speak, I guess.
Yeah, but...
I'm not meaning that as any kind of demeaning term, but yeah.
No, but, you know, obviously in journalism, the more eyes that look at a story, you know, the better, but there is a high premium on putting things out there on a timely basis as well.
So how do you deal with, I'm assuming from time to time you get phone calls from people, either county officials or members of the public, and, you know, you get these irate phone calls. How do you handle those?
I've had a few irate phone calls in my time, yeah. I think, number one, you listen to what people have to say. And I've found, frankly, that whether it's a public official or a reader who's mad about something, if you listen and respond in a reasonable way, it kind of takes some of the air out of the, takes some of the fire out of, you know, especially with just readers who are mad about something, they often don't really expect to get any response. And when you do respond in a decent fashion, you know, their tone changes very drastically. Elected officials or public officials, they are used to being covered, and some of them, I would say, often to, well, let's try to put categories on this. If there's a factual error in a story, we will correct it. That
sure.
That is just our policy. We'll correct it, and we will correct it as soon as we can. And now with the internet, that's helpful, actually, because, I mean, the story is out there forever on the internet. But we can correct something instantaneously rather than all of our readers waiting till the next day's papers or so to see the correction.
Well, a lot of people don't see those anyway. I mean, they're not prominent. Let's just say that.
Right.
But okay. Well, that's interesting. We do have just a couple minutes left here, and I thank you for coming on the program, because this is the first time we've done this. And you know, I thank your bosses at the Journal Sentinel for letting you do this. But is there anything else you want to add from your viewpoint as the county beat reporter?
I don't have any great revelations here, but
yeah.
I guess if the interest is how do we actually do the job, I mean, it's talking to people. It's going to the meetings. It's, you know, following up on leads. It's really the county beat is like any other beat in that sense. You know, you need to get to know the players and the issues and, you know, work it as well as you can.
Well, we thank you for coming on the show. Steve Schultz from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. After the break, he is the top advocate in the nation for people with disabilities, and he's a county employee. Stay tuned. You're listening to the January 2012 edition of Inside the County Board on News Talk 1130 WISN.